This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang in the studio this morning. Now, we've got a poll running on Twitter about football. It's great, really. Should professional football matches restart? With 136 votes in, 41% saying yes with SOPs, 11% saying yes back to normal, 32% saying not yet, and 16% saying they don't care. But basically, all I took from that is 52% say yes, and that's all I'm happy about.
Yeah, they should. I mean, look, I mean, a lot of people don't talk about this, but the mental distress of being locked down the last 2 months has been very damaging for a lot of people. And for spectator sports like football to be making a return, it's a lot. It's mental relief for a lot of people. It's an escape. It's a passion. It's sporting prowess. It's all these things. And I think for sure, sporting events should return.
Yeah. So in the UK, the government has said it is opening the door for the restart of the English Premier League in June. This is being dubbed Project Restart. Can you hear the excitement in my voice? But anyway, players have begun training since 2 weeks ago while also maintaining physical distancing and following strict protocols around health and hygiene. No spectators allowed. And just this week, the league has received government approval to progress to the next stage of Project Restart, enabling the competitive and close contact training, including tackling in groups of up to 12 players. Now, the football has started in Germany. Bundesliga resumed 2 weekends ago without spectators, and players had resumed non-contact training nearly 5 weeks before. And just like any other business, there are implications to further delays of the season, with a lot of sponsorship and broadcasting details in the work. This is a lot of money. Football, there is so much money there. And just last year and all, we were talking about how much the licensing could even go up further. But this has, of course, put a hamper there. Now, for a take on what's next in the world of football, we speak to Kieran Maguire, football financial analyst and author of The Price of Football. Now, Kieran, it looks like England is edging closer to competitive football now that the Premier League is allowing small group training. And while a date hasn't been set for the project for Project Restart, are you supportive of the measures put in place so far?
The measures so far, broadly, yes. Although it does seem inconsistent that we expect footballers to play in matches, but the people watching, that's deemed to be not safe. So there are some elements of inconsistency. I know that some players have reservations with regards to the return, especially if they have conditions such as asthma, or they've got family members in a similar position, or they have elderly relatives staying with them in terms of the way that their families are situated. So it's not perfect, but the Premier League is very closely monitoring the activities in the J-League in Korea and also the Bundesliga in Germany to see how those organizations have fared, and will be taking advice. And they will be led by the health professionals. So it's a cautious yes.
So let's talk about money. With football clubs, top management continuing to rethink their business model, what do you think should be included to financially safeguard this sport?
Financially wise, all football clubs generate income from three main sources: broadcast deals, commercial arrangements, and clearly match day attendances as well. There's no prospect of match day income coming in for the whole of 2020 and potentially first half of 2021 as well. So that will impact upon clubs, not significantly. It's only about $1 in $8 comes to the Premier League through that particular source. But they are very concerned about ensuring that their relationships with broadcasters are maintained, and therefore that's why they're trying to have the matches take place behind closed doors and to therefore allow the broadcasters to have something to produce.
Yeah, on that note, on broadcasters, Kieran, clubs are now faced with a £340 million repayment to TV broadcasters, even if matches go ahead. Talk to us about the complexity of these deals.
The Premier League is a very good export for the UK. The total income for the Premier League last year will have been around about $6.5 to $7 billion. And a lot of that comes from the TV deals. They're worth around about $4 billion. So that money is broadly split between both domestic and international broadcast partners. As far as the Premier League's relationship with its local broadcast partners, who are Sky Sports and BT Sport, there's 92 games remaining of the season, of which 47 were scheduled to be on television. What the Premier League will do, it will go to the broadcast and say that we know we've sort of let you down, you know, circumstances outside of our control for the last 2 months, but we're going to give you all of those matches so that you can send those out to subscribers to make up for that. So if they do such an approach, I think the broadcasters will say, well, we'll continue to pay you. And also, the broadcasters need the Premier League just as much as the Premier League needs the broadcasters. When it comes to overseas TV rights, the situation is different. You know, if you are in Malaysia, you've got local and regional sports products which are in demand as well. And the Premier League is a useful one as part of the roster, but it's not necessarily the only one in terms of ensuring that people renew their subscriptions. So overseas broadcasters are more likely to say to the Premier League, you're in breach of contract, we're not going to pay you the remaining instalments due for the 2019-20 season. So that's where that 340 million sterling figure has come from.
So, Kieran, what other ways then can football clubs generate revenue for the rest of the season and the next?
Certainly some form of streaming service has been discussed. Clubs won't have the income generated from season ticket sales or individual match day sales, and they can be significant. If we take a look at Manchester United, Manchester United makes around about $4 million per match from people attending at Old Trafford. But what they also know is that they have a huge membership scheme. So what they could do is, with the approval of the broadcasters and the Premier League, they'd write to all of their members and say, we will stream you a match, we'll give you effectively a match ticket online, here's a code for it, and you pay, you know, perhaps $5 for the privilege per match. So for the big clubs, I think they'll be relatively well insulated because they've got global fans, so therefore they'll be able to recoup some of that. My fear is that as you drop down the Premier League and also down through the lower leagues, the fan bases tend to be smaller, so therefore you're having to go and sell at a price which is going to be perhaps 10% or 20% of a match day ticket price to a relatively small pool of fans, and therefore you're going to be struggling in terms of income.
Having a streaming service is great, but what are your thoughts about bringing, you know, some football magic back into an empty stadium?
There's been talk of using mannequins of sort of broadcasting fan support. There are apps out there as well which can sort of replicate the reaction that a fan would make to a particular incident. So it's unusual. I think it will take an awful lot of acclimatization for both players and fans to get used to it, but we are living in extraordinary times globally at present, and I think the reaction of most people is that they are willing to try different things because people are missing football quite a lot. Although one of my concerns is that we're now becoming acclimatized not seeing football, and will we therefore go back with the same degree of passion and excitement when football does return before a paying audience?
Well, I certainly do hope so, that they return with a passion soon. Kieran, thank you so much for your time. That was football analyst Kieran Maguire. And, you know, Chuang, that he does have a good point there. If people have been accustomed to not watching football, will they return to it? But to that, I say, we have the three-month break every year and we still return in August.
Yeah, but I agree with that. And this might sound like heresy, Roshan, but I think that this coronavirus has been very good for the sport in terms of curbing the excesses of the Premiership. I mean, at one point in time, earlier this year, Kylian Mbappe and Neymar of PSG were worth an excess of £200 million in transfership fees. What club can afford them unless you're one of the super rich, and there's only 5 or 10 of them in the world?
Yes, certainly. Maybe a little bit of a correction there for the EPLS with the rest of the world at this point. But right now we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, The Breakfast Grill, where Noah will be speaking to Stephanie Sit, CEO of Imagine Group. Now stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.